This idea came from a student who was sitting in class who said, why are there so many high schools being identified, and why are there so many being identified in Jefferson County specifically, which is an interesting question. So when you looked at the population of schools, you realized that about 60% of the population of schools are elementary schools. So whenever you identify low-performing schools, we would logically assume that approximately 60% would be elementary schools. And when you delve further into this, it has to do with the use of the AYP metric, because AYP, like I said, is sensitive to population size and diversity. So the larger a school gets, the more likely it's going to have more students who fulfill these what are called subcategories. And what ended up happening is that when you look at elementary schools, they had fewer AYP metrics to meet, on average about two fewer than middle or high schools.
And let's really quickly talk about some of those metrics, for example.
So it would be, when you looked at it, it would be you would have to have not only the number of students proficient, but No Child Left Behind mandated that we looked at the number of disadvantaged students who were proficient, the number of Latino students who were proficient, the number of men who were proficient, the number of women who were proficient. And so you can imagine that creates this slate of adequate yearly progress checkboxes almost. And when you have enough to populate one of those fields, you then have to meet that goal. And so high schools were being held responsible for meeting more goals than elementary schools. You know, obviously they have to meet them, and we're not saying they shouldn't meet them and that elementary schools shouldn't meet them. But what we're saying is high schools essentially had to do more in some ways. You know, if you were asked to do a task and you were said you have to do, would you prefer to do 7 tasks perfectly or 12 tasks perfectly, I think you would say, I'd rather do 7, increasing your likelihood of success.
So 10 of our 18 persistently low achieving, which we now call priority schools in JCPS, are high schools. We put a lot of pressure on PLA schools,
sure,
and we're throwing a lot of resources at these PLA schools. But what's important for the community to know about, first off, are these schools the only schools that are performing at this level? And were they rightly identified, I guess, is the case? And it sounds like they might not have been.
It's not as if competent and well-prepared students were showing up at the high schools as freshmen and the high schools were doing a disservice to them. There's no real evidence of that. And especially that's one of the things that we found is that, and other researchers have found across the country, is that the performance of high school students can be predicted as far back as 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. So we know something about the performance of high school students based upon their performance in elementary schools, and what type of interventions are we providing to those schools that feed these high schools. So there need to be reform in these schools, but it's a much larger conversation than just potentially that single school. And again, in a district like Jefferson County, where you have school choice and perceptions and that type of thing, being labeled as a persistently low-achieving school can be incredibly damaging to the reputation of a school and the willingness of a parent to send their child there.
Who needs to be at the table? Who needs to be in these discussions? Obviously, people have been doing this research, which I'm sure the Kentucky Department of Education has mm-hmm. its own researchers and maybe even reaches out occasionally to other mm-hmm. folks. But I'm curious what needs to happen in order to really improve that system or to shine light on what's really going on.
Again, these are complex answers, and some of that deals with the idea of what approach do you want to take to improving. So, for example, there are areas in which, and there's some evidence of this, that a more well-rounded approach, which includes providing mental health services, which include dental, medical. There's an article in the Atlantic Monthly that talks about a school in the Lehigh Valley area in which they've done this, and they have what are sort of called wraparound services for students. So you can imagine if you're going to provide that type of level of service, you need to have a lot of people around the table. I noticed the commissioner referenced Montgomery County in Maryland in his discussions. Well, they had a housing policy that has facilitated some of the improvement in disadvantaged students' achievement.
And that's essentially a voucher system for disadvantaged families.
Yes, they have sort of a lottery system in which you receive their Section 8 housing. And so a woman by the name of Heather Schwartz has done a wonderful study that looked at student improvement over time. And And there was improvement, and she was attributing it a lot to, you know, the title of her article is Housing Policy is School Policy. And so if you would go that route, which has demonstrated some success in other places, you have to likely have people from the mayor's office around that table talking about housing policy, talking about where will new housing be built up, how much will be left behind for disadvantaged students, and those types of issues.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.